Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Our one and only Big Poppy, Red Sox Hall of Famer number 34, David Ortiz.
And throws a high strike. David Ortiz throwing out the first pitch at Fenway.
Dale Arnold.
Way to go, Antonio. This is the kind of stuff we got to put a stop to. And nobody out there should be thinking about emulating this BS.
Hey, yeah. Cool it.
Rich Key.
Tom, have you invited Antonio to stay at your house, and will he do that?
You know, I've asked a lot of guys over the years to stay at my house.
Get in my house!
And some have taken me up on it, and others haven't.
I'm not sure I'm really following here.
Sorry, but
we had a player to our team that we didn't think could help our team. I mean, what sense would that make?
Dale and Keefe, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. The New England Patriots, week two of the NFL season, travel to Miami for a Sunday at one game, which is pretty unusual for this team. A Sunday at one football game. When last I checked, they are currently 18.5-point favorites.
That's going up, too.
Yeah, and still it keeps going up. However, week 12 of 2007, the Patriots at home against the Philadelphia Eagles were a 25-point favorite.
Oh, my God. 25?
They were 10-0 at the time. Donovan McNabb was out with an injury.
Okay.
A.J. Feely was starting at quarterback. And yet, Philadelphia lost 31-28.
They've had a game there. Oh, yeah, I remember that. A.J. Feely played well. I bet this gets to 20 by Sunday.
I think there's a real good chance this will be a 20-point game.
They actually they'll have four straight 1 o'clock Sunday games. They like that.
I know.
And part of that is it's Miami, New York, Buffalo, Washington. So they can only have so many primetime games every year, and so they're going to maximize it with the good teams because they have the easiest schedule in football, and it's hard to see a loss on that schedule.
The most recent time when the Patriots went into a game as a favorite of 17 or more points was Christmas Eve 2016.
Jets.
They were 17-point favorites over the Jets and won 41-3.
Yeah, they covered that. They covered that bad boy. Just barely they were able to take that one down.
There have only been two games where a team was favored by 20 or more points. Broncos, Jaguars, Patriots, Colts. If they get to 20, this is pretty unusual. Yeah.
Well, and we did this exercise, I remember last year. They've only been underdogs like a handful of times in the last several years. And that, you know, you'd have to go back to probably Garoppolo and Brissett starting. Like, you know, when Tom Brady's the starter, they're not underdogs. They were in Kansas City in the AFC Championship game, but that was in Kansas City, and I think the spread might have been 3. Like, it was pretty close. It was like sort of a home team type of spread. But for the most part, they're favorite. And the way things are going, I mean, their schedule, we thought, and maybe they still will be, we thought Cleveland was going to be one of the more difficult games for them this year.
I don't feel that way much anymore.
After week one, it doesn't look that way, but still their offensive line's a disaster. So, I mean, they're probably going to cruise to 9-0 going into the bye week. Baltimore is the week 9 game at Baltimore. That's the only team that you think might be good enough. Now,
and by then, Lamar Jackson will be dead.
That's true. He definitely could be. And I know that there have been years where they lost to Peyton Hillis and the Browns. They lose to Miami. They've lost to Buffalo. Those the Jets. Like I get it. You don't always just beat the teams that you're supposed to. There's been some bad losses there. But for the most part, it just seems like they are head and shoulders above everybody the first half of the season.
So we mentioned that the Patriots kind of officially, quote unquote, welcomed Antonio Brown today, both on Twitter and on Instagram.
So you know it's official.
It's official now. They've got a picture of Antonio Brown, and it says, "Welcome to New England." And I'm looking at the Instagram post here, and it's been liked by 167,000 people already.
Right.
And among the comments.
Nothing not to like, Dale.
I know. I understand. Among the comments is from Flash. That would be Josh Gordon.
Yeah.
And he's got two emojis. One is a telephone, and one is the praying hands.
Oh, no eggplant?
Nope. Oh, okay. No, that'd be yours.
That'd be my response to this whole thing.
No, he's got the two emojis, the telephone and the praying hands.
Call God?
Please call me? I don't know.
Call God, maybe.
Ooh.
Oh. Well, AB said it was God's plan. Remember this whole thing? So maybe he's setting that up. I'm not entirely sure. But
see, once again, in the day and age that we live in, we are forced to try to decipher emojis.
Whoever invented the emoji, hopefully that guy or girl has $1 million because everybody's using them.
So Flash has got the telephone. Now, Lucy, where'd Lucy go?
She's gone. Took off.
Our social media maven.
See you later. Out of here.
Because she would be able to decipher, perhaps.
Yes. Why
a telephone?
I don't know.
And the praying hands. And I call God is
call God
a
makes the most sense, doesn't it? I mean, who else you calling Belichick? And maybe in this case, I don't know.
So earlier today, Bill Belichick did two conference calls. By the way, I was a little confused about this because he did one with the Miami media.
Right?
Isn't that normally Wednesday?
I thought so, but I guess his just regular press conferences tomorrow.
I thought conference call day in the NFL, I thought was Wednesday, but anyway,
he was busy today on the horn.
He did two conference calls, one with the Patriots media here, one with the Miami media in Miami. And on the Patriots media conference call, he was asked by that noted firebrand, Tom E. Curran.
Friend of the show, Wednesday. Yeah, actually, we'll talk to Tom tomorrow.
We'll talk to
on
him
the
tomorrow.
Program.
So Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, asked Belichick why he would be confident that Antonio Brown won't be the disruptive influence here with the Patriots that he's been most recently in the past with both the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Oakland Raiders.
I wasn't even one of those places, so I really can't comment on what did or didn't happen there.
Well, it's pretty well documented in both places that he was pretty disruptive. What makes you confident that he won't be that way here?
That's the same thing you said about Randy Moss when we got brought him in, so.
Me?
Collectively.
Amazing. Amazing back and forth. It really is, because Belichick gives you nothing, and we've been used to it for 20 years. And so every once in a while, he gives you something. Because we know it's not true, like the ignore the noise, do your job. We know it's not true that they don't hear anybody, because time and time again, they will point out how nobody believes in them. So how do you know nobody believes in you if you don't hear any of this stuff? Tom Brady last year, after all those playoff games, remember, everybody thinks we suck and all of this. So he's one, you've kind of broken through to him. He clearly hears everything. Belichick, for the most part, tries to pretend like he doesn't know what else is going on. Remember, he didn't even know Andrew Luck retired. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't know that Andrew Luck
not
retired.
Not following that.
Don't follow them. Okay.
Yeah, sure he did.
Yeah, he's one of the top quarterbacks, retired at 29 2 weeks before the season.
But I don't know. Maybe somebody told you.
So not only does he compare Antonio Brown to Randy Moss, which is something that you do, I do, like, people here do. Belichick
wouldn't have expected him to do it.
So he compares Antonio Brown to Randy Moss, and then he also is saying that he heard everything that everybody said about the Randy Moss trade acquisition, and he's saying that you're saying the same stuff now, which means he's been up to speed on all of it. Like, he knows what they're saying with Antonio Brown, which again flies in the face of his previous answer, which is, well, I wasn't there, you know, I don't really know about Pittsburgh and Oakland. And that's why Tom's like, well, it's pretty well documented. Like, you didn't have to be in the locker room to know that Antonio Brown had some issues there. And he said, hey, well, it worked with Randy Moss, which I would also say, Dale, it worked at first with Randy
Moss.
And
then ultimately it ended badly.
It did not end well. He, in fact, didn't make it through the last season here. He got traded away week 4 or whatever it was.
I was saying all summer long that it was going to end badly for the Oakland Raiders. I didn't think it was going to end.
Didn't start.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to end badly as soon as it did.
Yeah.
It'll end badly here. The Antonio Brown thing here will end badly in some way, shape, or form.
I think there's a chance that it doesn't, and my example of that would be Darrell Revis. 1 year, good for you, good for us, see you later. Right? Darrell Revis, you wouldn't say ended poorly. In fact,
no.
The Super Bowl.
No, that's a great example. I don't think he has been as much of a disruptive influence as
Well, I mean, he's held
Antonio
out
Brown.
And he's done that kind of thing. I mean, he's nobody. The Antonio Brown examples are not matched by anybody.
Right.
Right. Like, the stuff that he did there in Oakland is, he's kind of in a league of his own. Although I do question, you know, Mike Greenberg and guys like that who say this is the most disruptive thing he's ever seen.
It seemed a little
like,
much.
I'm pretty sure Latrell Sprewell choked his coach at a practice or whatever. Like, so that is not the most extreme thing. But anyway, I think that the best case scenario, and it could work out great for both. Antonio Brown could convince everybody that he is just this great football player. and he plays one season. They win the Super Bowl like they did with Darrelle Revis, and then he goes and gets one last payday. Because that's the other part of this, is Antonio Brown's 31 years old, so his next big contract, if there's a next one, is probably the last one. And so that could be the best case scenario.
So Randy Moss was the example that Belichick even referenced,
amazing,
which surprised us.
Yeah.
And you know, the memory grows a little hazy over the passage of time. And people might not remember what the reaction was on this radio station to Randy Moss becoming a member of the New England Patriots.
He's going to want to try to go out and prove that he can be a team player and prove that he deserves to get re-upped on a good contract.
I think all in all, it's a low-risk situation that could pay out high dividends for us in the end.
I just think talent-wise, he's a great talent athletically. I just think football-wise, his talent is average.
They're going to demand that he acts right and does the right thing on the field.
We know he's going to be playing on a Super Bowl contending team
for basically nothing. It's like adding an extra starting pitcher to the Red Sox, like adding Roger Clemens to the Red Sox. There's zero risk, high reward.
Never in a million years envision the Patriots making this move.
The guy is coming to a proven franchise that seems to have taken on a shift in their ideology with how they bring in players. When is the last time that he got a sniff of the Super Bowl? Randy Moss is going to look at this in the long term, just like the Patriots do, and say to himself, look, I have the potential here to win, if not one, maybe a couple Super Bowl titles.
And I think it's a great opportunity for Randy Moss to redeem himself. Mm-hmm. And I really don't see any negativity.
It's unbelievable, guys, what they did. I mean, they trade, which is supposed to be a really weak draft, they trade out of the 28th pick, they get Randy Moss and probably a top 15 pick next year.
So that was a just fan reaction?
Just take the name and transpose
thing.
It. Yeah. It is exactly the reaction we're getting.
So that was obviously 2007 on day two or three of the draft, because they traded a fourth round pick. They traded the 110th overall pick,
yep,
for Randy Moss. That is insane. And I know he wasn't doing much in Oakland. He was there for 2 years. His first year, he had 1,000 yards receiving and 8 touchdowns. The second year, he played in 13 games. He had 553 yards and 3 touchdowns. So that's another big difference. Antonio Brown is coming off of a great year where he led the league in touchdowns. Randy Moss, there was actually, as far as on the field, there's a few more questions about him than there is Antonio Brown. Now, off the field, you could certainly make the case a few more questions about Brown than there was for Randy Moss. But
all of the Randy Moss thing with the nudging the security guard, the police officer
there
with
was
his
some
car.
Stuff. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That Joe Buck was totally disgusted.
He did not care for that. That's
the whole pants thing.
That's when I lost it with Joe Buck. But I think the fans are pretty consistent. Once their team gets a guy like this, you're going to...
We're all in.
You're all in. Now, the media back in 2007 was probably like it is 2019. It's probably more split. You know, I bet there were some guys that said, yeah, I guess take a shot at it. And again, he wasn't nearly as polarizing as Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown has sort of taken the diva wide receiver position and just
explodes
on steroids or whatever. It's like mutant version, whatever you want. Because even Terrell Owens or Chad Johnson or any of these guys, it's a different level here with Brown.
It's fascinating to hear the reaction from 2007, because if you just took the name Randy Moss out and inserted the name Antonio Brown in, it is the exact same thing we're hearing now. Yeah. And by the way, they didn't win a single Super Bowl, let alone multiple Super Bowls. But for a while, it was wildly successful.
Part of the best regular season team they had. Unfortunately, you can't put them as the best team that they had because they didn't cap it off. But that team that Moss was on was amazing. I mean, that offense was the best offense that Brady had. Now, this year, if everything falls into place, it could be right up there with that. I don't know if he throws for 50 touchdowns, but as far as how many points they score, I mean, they could be knocking on that door again.
One other point, and then we'll get back to the calls. One other point, when Belichick was talking to the Miami media today, he was asked to define the Patriot way, quote unquote.
Yeah.
His answer, quote, yeah, I don't know that I've ever used that term. I'm not really sure what that is either. I appreciate you asking about it, though, but I don't know.
Sure he does.
It's a good question, unquote. By the way,
when he says
I've
that,
never heard him say it.
I've also, if he says that's a good question, chances are it's not a good question. I really don't think he means that's a good question. Yeah,
now,
I've never heard him say Patriot way. I don't think he likes that. I mean, that's not even a thing.
I don't know.
I don't like that term either.
Have we heard Jonathan Kraft use it or Robert Kraft use it? It could be like a Tom Terrific thing. Yeah, maybe. I've never heard Belichick ever say the Patriot way.
I don't like the term either. I mean, I just think it's sort of winning, and I think it also takes away, and I wonder if Belichick doesn't like it because it sort of, it's like, oh, it's the franchise. And it's like, well, it's kind of Belichick. It's almost like the Belichick way.
Right.
Right? And maybe that's what it should be. And I'm not saying necessarily that that's what he thinks it should be called, but he doesn't look at it just as the Patriot way. Because then what is it? How would you define it?
Well, like, that's what people fall back on. Well, you know, you get him in the locker room, he'll find out what the Patriot way is.
No, it's winning.
And even Belichick says, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, they don't really know what it means. It's just maybe all the other places are such asylums that it's just because it's structured. They're like, ooh, it's the Patriot way. Like, well, maybe more teams should, you know, have discipline and there should be consequences if you're late for things and
thought.
Stuff like that. Maybe that would work. I don't know.
Maybe it's called the professional way. Yeah. You know, you're being paid millions of dollars to do a job, and they expect you to show up on time and work hard. 617-779-7937. Abel's in Boston. Hey, Abel, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
I'm just hearing you guys, and I was hearing you guys yesterday a little bit, too. A couple things about Antonio Brown. First thing is, real quickly, in my opinion, I don't think he really never wanted to be over there in Oakland in the first place. And I think he kind of just made up this narrative about this stupid helmet thing just to get out of there. That's just my personal opinion on that thing.
It's possible.
He also got a helmet deal, so yeah. I think that could have been part of it, too.
Sure. Yeah, and I'm just making just my opinion on it.
Yeah.
Second thing is this. I just want this. I'm really kind of disgusted and discouraged about what I'm hearing about from our Patriots fans talking about Antonio Brown. And primarily it's because of this. I don't know what we're talking about here, guys. When did sports teams ever not deal with players of superstar talent with conduct issues? You know what I mean? We've always dealt with athletes on superstar level who had conduct issues, but they were great performers. Dennis Rodman, Lawrence Taylor. These guys have had way more crazy things going on off the field than Antonio Brown has ever done. Yeah, this guy is, you know, maybe a little thing in the locker room, but this guy is a great athlete. And I can tell you this, once we start winning and he helps us, we're going to forget about everything that we're talking about this guy. I just don't understand why we bashing this guy because you know, I heard one
I don't sense people are bashing him, Abel, do you?
I think we are. I think you guys not per se.
Yeah.
But I'm just hearing from a collective standpoint, from people I see on the street. I'm talking about it. It's like we're saying like this guy. We shouldn't have him. We shouldn't be here.
I think that's actually I hear you, Abel. I think that's in the minority though. I think there are some people that didn't like what he did in Oakland, and now they're like, oh wait a minute, now I got to root for him. Where there are more people, I think, that just say, this is the best receiver in football. The Patriots are going to bring him in there. They can get the most out of him. All they care about is winning. That's all I care about is does the team win? I don't care how they do it. I just want them to be able to succeed. So I'm certainly on board. I think most people are at this point.
I hope so.
I was not in favor of bringing him in here because, well, A, I don't think they need him, and B, I do think you run the real risk that he's a disruptive influence in the locker room, in the meeting room, maybe even eventually on the field. We've seen him be a disruptive influence in the past, but I'm not killing them for doing it. Even if I didn't think they should have done it, I can see from a football perspective why they wanted to. This guy's great.
That part is obvious. And he didn't give up anything.
Yeah, it cost you $9 million of Robert Kraft's money. He'll be fine. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, thanks for the call.
Thanks, appreciate the call. 617-779-7937. Nick's in Millbury. Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys, great show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to bring up two things real quick. First of all, our defense, how great they seem to be playing. When you think about it, we didn't give up any touchdowns this week, nor did we give up any in the Super Bowl, and I think we only gave up three in the playoff game to Kansas City. So if I'm correct,
it's all in the fourth quarter. It was like in 10 seconds.
Football,
yeah.
12 quarters of football,
right.
And only giving up three touchdowns.
Oh, they're loaded.
I wanted to ask you guys a question. And then, like I said, I'll hang up and listen to what your comments are. I was watching the Miami Dolphin game Sunday because there's nothing else to watch. The Pats weren't coming on until nighttime. What is the logic, what Flores did by taking Rosen and putting him into the game when you're 51 points down? Well, what's the positive? Wouldn't you think that's more of a risk in regards to physically what can happen to him, but also
well,
mentally?
Part of it. Part of it is your quarterback, your starting quarterback. You're taking him out. The game is done. The game is over with.
I mean, if the Patriots were down by a similar margin, I don't think you'd see Brady staying in
Didn't the Giants take out Eli Manning and put Daniel Jones at the end? Yep. So, I mean, teams are going to do that. So, it's not just – Rosen's just going to get some reps, I guess. Like that game was so lopsided.
And you're protecting your starting quarterback at that point.
Like Fitzpatrick beat out Rosen for the job. So, whether you agree with it or not, Fitzpatrick's the starter. So, if anything, you want to get him out of the game. It's like, all right, this is a lost cause. We'll see you in week two.
Speaking of disruptive influences, the new 30 for 30 that's coming out, and I'm looking at a bit of a trailer for it right now, is on Dennis Rodman, who was really a disruptive influence on some of the teams. Now, a great player.
Disruptive, yes.
Hall of Fame player.
Also has like a million rings.
Oh, yeah.
So it wasn't disruptive enough.
But it'll be interesting to see how they portray Rodman, and I'm sure they'll show him warts and all. But
that's mostly what it is.
And I'm looking at the trailer here and showing him, you know, with his shirt off, smashing stuff around as he's going off the court.
The wedding dress, that'll be in there. Madonna, that'll be in there.
I don't need to see any more of Madonna. We've pretty much seen all there is to see there.
All the way May?
617-779-7937. Right back to the calls after trending now.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You tell us now about his new contract.
Friend, it was done before the trade was even completed. Essentially, Randy Moss has a new one-year contract in New England that is worth, with incentives, in the neighborhood of $5 million. He lowered his base salary dramatically, about $6 million, and he has some incentives in there. But the key factor here is that he did give the Patriots some salary cap relief, and he is on a one-year deal, which means he could be a free agent after this year. Basically, he's auditioning for the Patriots and the rest of the league, and you'd like to think that if he plays well, that he'll want to come back to New England, and New England will want to have him back.
It's Adam Schefter back when the Patriots acquired Randy Moss. I will tell you that Mike Lombardi, writing on The Athletic, mainly about Antonio Brown, but equating it to the Randy Moss thing, because Lombardi was with Oakland at the time. He said when they talked to Randy Moss about the deal, they said, you know, you're going to have to restructure your contract. You're going to have to take a pay cut to go to the Patriots. He says, I don't care. Do whatever you have to do.
Yeah, see you later. Like, that's how bad Oakland was, and apparently still is. You know, Antonio Brown didn't even play a game there. Randy Moss played two seasons and really kind of, for him, lost seasons. Think about it. He was 28 and 29 his 2 years in Oakland. He had, you know, a Hall of Fame career just in Minnesota. He was there for, what, 8 seasons or whatever. He was six seasons, I think, to start. Then he ended up going back there. But he was so good early on, put up crazy numbers. Then those 2 years where it was just like nothing. And then just a monster with the Patriots. But it didn't end well. You know, that 1 year was amazing. Couldn't have asked for a better showcase 1 year. 07, still one of the best wide receiver single seasons in the history of football. 08, sort of a weird year because no Tom Brady.
Right.
He was still out there, though.
The first quarter of the first game, and you got Matt Cassel throwing you the ball.
09 was one of those tough Patriot teams to like, but he was fine. He led the league in touchdown catches. Like, he was good. They had issues on that team, but Randy Moss individually put up good numbers. And then 2010, I think he had that next contract kind of looming. He was uncertain what was going to happen, and then it just
all fell apart,
and then he was gone in 10.
Rob's in Swampscott. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Hey, guys, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay, so I was talking with a couple friends over the weekend when this whole thing broke with the AB thing.
Yeah.
And the toughest thing for me is when you have a talent like that and you have the ability as a team to get that talent, I'm just imagining, like, the first drive that the Patriots have with AB active. And if they ever went to, like, Josh Gordon, Demaryius Thomas, Antonio Brown and Julian Edelman four across. It's just, you're going to see defensive backs poop down their pant leg right on national TV.
That's a nice visual.
That is impossible to defend. Rob, this is the greatest team in the history of sports. Let's just call it what it is.
I'm not saying that.
I think we were talking about yesterday. 19-0, that's absolutely on the table. The best wide receiving core Brady's ever had on the table.
Rich, don't say 19-0. What? You don't want to be part of any kind of jinx.
Oh, all right. I don't think I have that much power.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe I'll keep that quiet.
But this is what I want to say. In terms of the national media, they are absolutely ripping Brown. Mike Greenberg yesterday was...
Oh, he's a clown.
Oh, my God.
Greenberg's a clown.
He was pathetic. Like, he's talking about, it's the most unprofessional thing. It's like, are you kidding me? It's like, have you seen some of the things that have gone on?
Oh, it's just a joke. Yeah, it's an absolute joke. There's no way.
I'm trying to remember who it was. Was it the Dallas receiver? When he scored the touchdown and pulled the cell phone out from underneath the
Joe Horn did the cell phone thing.
Okay, that was, I don't know. In relative to some of the other antics that other wide receivers, whoever, players, just in the NFL have pulled. I mean, yeah, this is unprofessional and it's somewhat childlike, but you know, for his whole life, he's pretty much been the best at what he's done.
Look,
so he's always been put on a pedestal and been able to get away with it.
Tom Brady's the best at what he does too, but doesn't act like a child.
You don't have to act like a child just because
you're real good at what you do.
But you're kind of allowed to if you are. Like if you're that good, right? Not everybody in the league can act like this and then have a job waiting for him.
So we asked the question earlier because the Patriots officially welcomed Antonio Brown to the team both on Twitter and on Instagram.
So now it's a done deal.
It's done deal now.
Yeah. Forget the NFL transaction wire. Twitter and Instagram.
So they welcomed Antonio Brown on Instagram, and Josh Gordon responded with two emojis.
Yeah.
The telephone.
Right.
And the praying hands emoji. And we've, two again, of the best. Sicked our best social media person on this because Lucy's going to try to help decipher this for us.
What do you got?
Yes, so I did some quick analysis.
All right.
The two emojis he used, the telephone prayer hands, the telephone emoji is called a telephone receiver. So it's a receiver prayer hands emoji. Like, thank God.
Prayers answered?
Yes.
For a receiver.
Like wide receiver.
Wow.
So that's a next level.
That is next level.
Well done, Lucy.
So Josh Gordon had to know that that's what the name of the emoji is.
See,
when you look
it
up,
was a telephone, but no, it's a receiver.
The name of the emoji officially is telephone receiver.
I thought it was call God. I thought it was shorthand for call God. I really did. So receiver.
So receiver, thank God.
Like, oh, we needed another receiver?
Yeah, because
like,
we were...
What? And notice they kept them all, too. They didn't get rid of a receiver to add Antonio Brown. No. They got rid of my guy, Obi Melifonwu. Easy come, easy go.
Wonder if he'll clear waivers.
I don't know. I mean,
because
maybe.
You know that if he does, they're going to put him back on the practice squad.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I don't know. He was a pretty high pick. I don't know if there's a lot of interest before. But think about it. They have all those guys. So now you have... You know, Brown, Gordon, and Edelman, who are your three best in whatever order. And then you have Dorsett, who's good. Jacoby Myers had a grab last game. You still have Gunner on the roster, Demaryius Thomas, and then N'Keal Harry's on IR. He may just be done for the whole year, but still, that's a lot of receivers to have.
I mean, my guess is Jacoby Myers is going to have a hard time getting on the football field with those other guys.
Yeah, he'll probably be inactive.
Because Gunner showed enough, at least to me as a punt returner, that they're going to like having him on the roster.
But Demaryius Thomas might also have just found, like, how is he going to get on the field? Because Philip Dorsett definitely made the most of his, he always makes the most of his opportunities. So I want Dorsett, and I think he'd be okay being sort of the fourth guy. So if that's your four wide, and then you have Gunner in a pinch... It's going to be tough because Demaryius Thomas was inactive last game. Myers was active. So now if you're adding Antonio Brown to the mix, I don't think you're going to have an... I mean, it'll be interesting, though, how they figure out the roster crunch.
JT is in State College, Pennsylvania. Hey, JT.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
How are you?
Doing great. Stuck here in the middle of Pittsburgh country, but I just wanted to ask you guys, do you think Antonio may have fought James Harrison at all? Because... Not to make Steeler fans hurt more than hearing Harrison say how much he liked his time in New England.
Yeah, I bet. I wouldn't be. I don't know what his relationship is with some of those guys, but between James Harrison and LeGarrette Blount, a couple of guys that had been in Pittsburgh and in New England and knew the difference between the two, I wouldn't shock me.
LeGarrette Blount came back.
Yeah, right. He was dying to come back.
Harrison was in those initial videos with Antonio Brown.
Yeah, good point.
Last year.
Yeah, good point. So yeah, I'm sure he definitely talked to Harrison.
We talked about this picture that got Barstool posted it, but evidently some high school lacrosse player.
I don't know what he is. Photog that guy.
But it is the picture of Brady and Antonio Brown in Brady's kitchen, by the way. And you can remember the selfie. It was a locker room selfie of Brady and James Harrison.
Yeah.
Right after Harrison arrived, and it was like, see, we can all be friends.
We're
that sort of
buds.
Thing.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but the Antonio Brown stuff, it does sound like he is at least right now staying with Tom Brady.
And Lucy, if you could start following the high school lacrosse player from Connecticut,
because already done. And I messaged him to ask him where he got the picture. I've yet to hear a response.
Interesting. See, we're all over
burner. Then. Burner.
Yeah. AB has another account.
an AB burner account?
He might. I mean, he's got a lot of guys working on his... he might hire that kid. Yeah, that's a good picture. How much do you need? How much a year? What's your salary?
That's the thing. I want to know who took it. Was it one of those two? Was it Giselle?
I don't know.
Was it Tom Brady? Was it Alex?
One of Brady's kids? Alex is probably definitely around.
Alex Guerrero could have been. You know, just prior to an aggressive massage.
That's true.
Could have been Alex or somebody.
Yeah.
Jacqueline's up in Maine. Hey, Jacqueline, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
As I was kind of listening to everything here, one of my points might have gotten answered, but the first question is just in general, for the offense, how do you think, or how much, I guess, on board do you think the entire offense is with Antonio Brown, just knowing that he is going to take away some touches and they kind of already have a good thing going? Do you think that would be disruptive at all? And then my second point was about the emojis that you were talking about.
All right.
Some folks use the praying hands and they say it's a high five emoji. I've heard that too. So I'm just curious.
Maybe. Okay.
You know, if it was intended as that, does that change that interpretation or that meaning at all?
Then it could be receiver high five. Then that makes sense too.
That could be good, right? Because all these emojis, they all have second and third meanings. That's the thing.
You got to go deeper.
I could.
Can't just look on the surface. Well, I'll say this, Jacqueline, about your previous point. If you play on this team, you've sort of come to the realization that there are going to be game plans when you're going to be really active and there are going to be other game plans where you're not that active. You know full well that, you know, in Tom Brady's assessment of a play as it develops, he's going to the open guy. He's not saying, okay, I'm going to Julian on this play.
Right.
And so you've kind of got a pretty good idea of what it's like.
And here, I also think some of those guys that are going to get less targets are Philip Dorsett, who last season he had a bunch of catches the first two games. Then Josh Gordon comes in. You never see Philip Dorsett again. And then when Gordon leaves, now all of a sudden Dorsett's a factor. So Dorsett, all these receivers that want the ball, demand the ball, Dorsett's not one of those guys. Edelman's still going to get thrown to a bunch.
Yeah.
Josh Gordon, I don't think you're ever going to throw to him, with the exception of that one game against Tennessee last year where it was a problem and it didn't work. They threw it to him 12 times. He had four catches. I think for the most part, he might only get five or six, but a couple of them are deep and things like that. So I think Antonio Brown can still slide in here, get targeted about 10 times a game, and now maybe guys like Rex Burkhead get a little bit less. I think it's going to be fine.
We've got what else you got coming up in just a couple of minutes. OMF will be in here at the top of the hour. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we didn't get to earlier in the program.
What else you got?
I'll kick it off we all have become fans over the years of the 30 for 30 broadcasts, and there's a new one tonight, the world premiere tonight of the latest 30 for 30. The subject matter is fascinating to me because Dennis Rodman is one of the most polarizing professional athletes of my lifetime. might be a little whacked at times. Let's be honest. There's, you know, the whole Kim Jong-un relationship.
Well, he's like our ambassador to North Korea.
Apparently he is. So the 30 for 30, the trailer is out for the 30 for 30 that premieres tonight. And I'm going to say it now. You guys got me.
Is this really who you are, or is this a big image-building campaign? Who is the real Dennis Rodman?
The force of nature that he was undeniable.
He was Jimi Hendrix and Will Chamberlain.
Rodman turned the NBA upside down on his head.
You never think back and say to yourself, now, Dennis Rodman, which one was he?
Dennis was a very clingy child. He was very shy.
Skinny, he was awkward.
I think he missed the father figure.
Constantly battling his inner demons.
Dennis Rodman did dirty work better than anybody in NBA history.
Rodman has had a difficult and emotional time this season.
Did I believe he was going to shoot himself at the Palace of Auburn Hills? Yes.
Oh, my God. Here comes the legend of Dennis Rodman.
He freaked out a lot of people in the sports world.
It became more about performance art than performance.
I'm going to give them what they want, okay?
That's what made him Dennis Rodman, the parties.
Everything came apart at the same time.
Shut up! Don't hit it!
I just wish I could see my son more often.
You cannot send Dennis to North Korea.
I'm not an ambassador. I'm Dennis Rodman.
He was an accidental hero.
You don't have to like him.
He is a lone rebel.
My dad is a really beautiful person.
There's never been another Dennis Rodman.
Wow. People say that? That's funny as hell, huh?
Oh, I am all in.
Yeah, this will be good.
They do such a good job on them anyway,
right.
And you've got a subject matter that is
holy smokes
fascinating.
Guy's a Hall of Famer. I mean, I know the Basketball Hall of Fame lets everybody in, but still, he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, you could make an argument.
He would have been in a real Hall of Fame.
That he might be pound for pound the best rebounder in the history of the game.
He led the league in rebounding 7 straight years. He had a season where he averaged 18.7 rebounds per game. That is insane. Al Horford
didn't really
can't get
care
six.
About shooting the ball so much. But,
no, not his thing. Not his thing. And he won 5 championships. He was all defense like a zillion times. And just, yeah, I mean, he was certainly a character. And it's interesting how it morphed, too. Because remember when he was in Detroit, he didn't really hear too much about him. I'm sure that's what the documentary will get into. Next thing you know, he's in San Antonio. Remember the different hair that he would have? Like, he would dye his hair like all the different colors all the time, all the nonsense. And then, well, he had that run with the Bulls. I mean, yeah, the guy's pretty amazing.
What else you got?
All right, I got 2 things real quick. One, there'll be a new episode of Hashtag Dork out tonight, podcast.
Thank God. The America has demanded it.
We saw It Chapter 2. That hit theaters this past weekend. So me and Davey Eyeballs will record our episode tonight. It will be out late tonight. The other thing,
Dale. Is it really 3 hours, though?
It's 2 hours and 49 minutes. That's my single biggest complaint.
It wasn't very good.
I thought it was fine.
No, it wasn't.
Spoiler alert.
It wasn't very good.
Was it scary?
No.
Oh, no.
The first one was not scary.
There was one scene I liked, but when there's, 1,000 scenes, that's not enough. I didn't like it. I don't know what Davey thinks, so we'll talk about it.
I probably laughed more than I was scared, to be honest. But I don't think it was bad. So
yeah, I thought the acting was good. Like the character, like the casting was great, but the movie itself.
Bill Hader, major upgrade.
He was great. Bill Hader was good. McAvoy was good. Jessica Chastain.
Charlie McAvoy's in it.
Charlie McAvoy had a hell of a turn.
Wow.
In this.
Yeah, he was.
Dale's good. Going. Yeah, he was
going now.
But my other thing, and this would maybe this is your side, Dale. You've been saying all along that Rob Gronkowski is going to return to football this season.
Well, I really do think he is.
Yesterday, he was at Barstool Sports headquarters down in New York City.
Yeah.
And the cameras are always rolling down at Barstool. So he was saying goodbye to Dave Portnoy when this came out.
Thanks,
all right, man.
Yes,
no problem.
Well, 1 week, though, seriously.
14, 15.
I know.
Week 14.
Just avoid the grind of the season. Come back to the playoffs.
Exactly. Easy. Yeah. I won't even be single coverage with all those receivers we have. Won't even get touched. Week 14.
Week 14, he said. When are you coming back?
That's a little 14. Late for me.
It does seem late, but that way he gets to be really rested up. He gets to have all the CBD oil he can handle for the next several weeks. And then you come back, as he even said, all the single
little,
coverage. You don't
think
that's
the little laugh at the end didn't sort of negate some of the stuff that he said prior to that?
He's like, well,
or is he just a jolly guy?
I think he is a jolly guy. I think he's merry. You don't think Gronk is merry?
Now, I got the sense, by the way, that Willie McGinnis had softened a little bit on the Gronkowski return.
And he was talking to him on Sunday.
Because he said he saw him. He's in a very good place
right
now. He's happy.
It doesn't have the itch yet.
I didn't have the itch.
Because he says, we all get it. He says, after you stop playing football that you want to go back. But he says, as of right now, Gronk doesn't have it. So I wonder if he is kind of going back the other way and thinking, you know what, maybe this guy enjoys retirement and just, it could be possible that he's just done.
So after he takes the tops off picture of the of himself and Jonathan with the Super Bowl
maybe
trophy.
Maybe he's just hot. You ever get hot? You just take the top off?
I hardly ever take the shirt off. Oh, well. But when he gets home, does Camille say, you know, you could do that at home. Maybe leave it on when you're out there in public.
Well, no, I bet she's fine with it. I mean, she's a model, for God's sake. She's the same okay. thing. She's out there taking pictures.
With her top off?
Well, with her shirt. Like, no, she's not wearing a lot of clothes in a lot of the pictures I've seen of her.
I thought maybe you had something you wanted to show
me. I don't have any of those pictures.
On your computer.
No.
We got to get out of here. OMF is coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow. It is Wednesday, so Wiggy will be in the house. Tom E. Curran will join us as well. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye, goodbye. Goodbye, goodbye. Thank you for stopping by.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.